Welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. Switch live.
And that doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Anymore. It's like, you're not even saying my name is Rob F. Switch. It's just, my name is Brent Weinbach. Rob F. Switch live. Like, it's almost like a different show. Actually.
I know.
Actually, that should be your spinoff show, actually.
Rob F. Switch live?
Yeah.
It really, honestly, it doesn't make sense. I know that.
I like that. I like that it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Just for the record.
Okay.
I like that it doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, you got to try something new every now and then,
yeah.
I think.
No, well, I personally, I like stuff that doesn't make sense in general.
Excellent. I think that's why we get along so well.
Sure, yeah. So, okay, this is the Video Game Music Podcast featuring only 8-bit and 16-bit era music. And before we get to today's topic, we just want to address a comment someone made on the show. Where was the comment located? Do you remember? Was it on Facebook or
on Facebook? It was on our Facebook page.
Facebook,
by the way. So please like us.
And that's a new thing. We didn't used to be. It's like a new thing. We're trying to expand, right?
I mean, because we conquered Google Plus.
Yeah.
So next up, Facebook.
Trying to expand the Legacy Music our empire.
Right.
The Legacy Music Empire. So we had someone commented and they said that, why don't you explain it, Rob?
Okay. The comment was regarding our usage of the word song. To describe the music. And the listener's point of view was that we can't use that term if there's no words.
Right.
Unless it's VGM karaoke.
Technically, songs are sung with lyrics.
Right.
And so go on.
The proper word should be track.
Track or piece or tune or something like that, you know?
A jam.
Jam or stitch.
Stitch?
Take a listen to this stitch. No, I just made that up. But now here, let me just say this. As a trained musician myself,
yes,
and somebody who studied music, I'm definitely aware of the difference of between songs and pieces, and that yes, technically, songs, need to be have words to be an actual song. At the same time, whatever.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
Like. At the same time, it's like, okay, I'll be honest. I do try to not refer to the music as songs, but sometimes I do just because it feels right, I guess. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I actually do kind of in my head reprimand myself whenever I use the word song to describe a track.
Right.
You know? I do reprimand myself because I know that technically it's not a song, but sometimes I feel like it's hard to describe certain pieces as pieces when they sound like songs. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Because sometimes, first of all, there is sort of a colloquial thing to refer to any kind of piece of music as a song.
Right.
You know? This is like a colloquial thing.
Right.
And that's legal in that context, I think. But sometimes some of these video game music tracks, they kind of seem to emulate pop music,
yes,
or rock music, and to me it just feels weird to refer to that as a piece. Now, granted, on some of the more orchestral sounding tracks, it's easier to refer to those as pieces, as pieces of music. But when it comes to these sort of poppy or rock based kind of tracks, it just feels more appropriate to say song, even though it doesn't have words.
I was just thinking about classical music. I mean, do you say that Beethoven song?
There are some classical songs, definitely,
Okay.
But still, like, I do think that it's hard to describe these rock and pop kind of sounding, because I also do think that I do believe that songs can exist without words. A song without words, you know what I mean? That they could have, there's something about, they're structured in such a way that the melody is a certain way that they seem like songs instead of pieces, I don't know. It's just a thing that it's sometimes it just feels right to say songs.
So here's the question, because the comment came from Mike on Facebook.
Yes.
Are we going to keep using that term?
If it feels right.
Okay.
If it feels right. Look, I actually don't say songs a lot. I do usually say tracks, and I do usually say pieces, or I usually just say music. But sometimes if something feels like a song, you know, even though there isn't words, it sounds like a song, you know?
Right.
Yeah. I think someone else made a comment about how, you know, kind of depends on what you define as a song, you know?
Well, Mike, it wasn't a criticism from Mike.
And, yes.
He said, keep up the great work, and apologies if he's overly pedantic.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
And we're not, like, going to, you know, there's no, I'm not, you know, I, the only reason we're bringing this up, actually, is because I just wanted to let people know that we are aware of the... aware of this, of that situation, just explaining why we might use the word song to describe certain things, you know?
Yeah. By the way, did you know what pedantic meant?
Like, I just didn't want people to think that, that we're ignorant.
Sure.
But I am ignorant to the word pedantic. I'm just kidding. Actually.
No. Did you really know what it meant?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cause I just Googled it, and now I need to Google what the results are.
Okay.
I mean, look at these results. I'm going to be honest. Speaking of ignorant, I don't know what that word means.
Yeah.
Punctilious.
Well, now you got me there.
Donish. These are synonyms.
Okay, yeah.
Donish, priggish, and meticulous. Oh, well, I do know meticulous. Mm-hmm. But the other ones, not quite.
All right. Well, you know, anyway, that's what we have to say about it, and that's that. Let's move on.
Destiny Games. They are not pedantic, and they are a sponsor. 42134 Ford Road. Located in Canton, Michigan. Give them a call, 734-404-5548, for all of your gaming needs, modern and legacy related.
And one other thing is I just wanted to say thank you to Mike, who made the video game music mix for us.
I
finally got a chance to listen to it. I was on the road driving for about 10 hours. Had a good time listening to the mix, and there were some great tracks in there. And there were some tracks I'd never heard of before, and I hadn't heard of the games before.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring the list of me with of the games of those games, so I can't say right now which ones they were. But I did really enjoy some of the tracks.
I think you said there was a WrestleMania.
Was the first if the first track on the CD that was I did really like that one a lot. Yeah. Thanks to Mike. And so let's move to today's topic, which is composer focus.
It's been a while.
Yeah, I don't think we've done a composer focus since, Koichi Sugiyama?
I think so.
And that was episode 49, right?
Wow.
So we're at episode 68 now, and the composer we're going to be focusing on is Hitoshi Sakimoto. And, he actually, during the 16-bit era, did more work actually as a programmer and arranger.
Right.
But he did compose quite a bit of work as well, and we'll be concentrating on his work as a composer. So I'm just going to fade out this music and talk a little bit more about Hitoshi Sakimoto. Hitoshi Sakimoto, he oftentimes collaborated with Masaharu Iwata.
Right.
This is kind of a lifelong collaborator. And you'll see a lot of the soundtracks that he worked on, you'll see Masaharu's name pop up as well, because they'll oftentimes work on the games together. And also Hayato Matsuo also would collaborate a lot with Hitoshi Sakimoto.
Right.
So that's another name you might see. This episode is a tiny bit of a focus on Masaharu Iwata as well, because on a few of the games, there's no available track breakdown of who did which song. And so we'll explain it when we get to the game, but there might be certain games where, because we don't know who did which track, it could be Masaharu's track instead of Hitoshi Sakimoto. But for the most part, we do have a track breakdown of who did what on these games. Just a little bit more information about Hitoshi Sakimoto. He went by the alias sometimes, the alias YMOHS, or I don't know if that would be... it would be a capital Y, lowercase M, lowercase O, and then a capital H, and then a period, and then S.
Yeah.
what the meaning behind that alias is, he's actually was a really big YMO fan, and YMO, otherwise known as Yellow Magic Orchestra, which was a popular sort of electro pop group, Japanese group from the late 70s, early 80s.
Okay.
Which one of the members is actually Ryushi Sakamoto.
Oh.
A different Sakamoto.
Right.
No relation. And
tell it to Sakamotos.
Yeah, tell it to Sakamotos. And then so, yeah, he went by YMOHS as a kind of a reference to that band. And so, you know, I guess, you know, he was influenced by that group as well. And he started composing professionally for games at the age of 16.
He was somewhat of a prodigy.
Yeah, I guess so. He actually programmed video games too, right, when he was a kid, and was a self-proclaimed geek of video game and tech geek,
right,
basically. And so he worked for a ton of different companies. He was at a company called Quest for a while, and then later, beyond after the 16-bit era, he was he worked for Square, and yeah, that's where he actually gained much more notoriety for composing the music to Final Fantasy Tactics and Final Fantasy XII, which we obviously won't be hearing from today. But he did gain more recognition for doing these Final Fantasy games for Square later on,
yeah,
in his career. But anyway, he did a ton of stuff during the 8-bit and 16-bit era, primarily the 16-bit era, and we're going to try to get through a lot of music today on that. We're going to start off. You're going to start it off with you picked out a track from which it seems to us to be his first solo game,
right,
that he did, because he was always working with Masaharu Iwata, and he does continue to work with him. But it's called Bubble Ghost.
It's Bubble Ghost. It's a Game Boy track.
Game Boy.
And the track I'll play is one that he worked on. Like you said, it's his first solo.
Yeah,
venture.
And this game, I think, comes out in 1990.
1990.
Yeah, so 1990. And he had worked on some computer games before this and stuff. But
I was just an infant back then.
Uh huh. You were just a twinkle, and you were just a twinkle in my eye.
Okay, so I'm going to get things started off.
That's implying that I'm your father,
right?
Okay,
which technically would be impossible, but
well,
again, that's something that you like, things that don't make sense.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Depends on how you define the word song. By the way, track three is the track that you're going to be playing is actually the ending music.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ending music. Yeah.
So, to kick things off on our composer focus, here's the ending music to Bubble Ghost for the Game Boy.
Composer Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Ending to Bubble Ghost for the Game Boy to kick things off.
And one thing I didn't mention before we started the music was we're going to be moving in chronological order through through his games,
yep,
during this 8-bit and 16-bit era. Mostly 16-bit stuff, actually. Next up, we're going to hear from a game called Veritex. Veritex.
Veritex. Very good.
So Veritex is a Japanese-only release for the Mega Drive.
Yes.
And this is one of the games where he worked with Masaharu Iwata and also another composer named, or who was credited as J.K.L. Furukawa.
Okay.
So, yeah, like I said, we can't know for sure if this is actually Hitoshi Sakamoto's track, but we're just, you know, hopefully it is. But this is certainly a game he worked on. And the track we're going to hear is Act One, The Void of Space. And this is, again, music from Veritex for the Mega Drive. From Veritex for the Mega Drive. This is called Act One, The Void of Space, and this is music by Hitoshi Sakimoto, Masaharu Iwata, or J.K.L. Furukawa.
I enjoyed the entire soundtrack to this game.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
I like this part a lot right here. Sounds very kind of 80s, you know? Yeah, actually, I think the next couple games we'll be hearing from, it'll be the situation where, because we don't have the track breakdown of who did what, it's either Hitoshi Sakamoto or Masaharu Iwata, his partner.
I'm going Magical Chase
For
the TurboGrafx-16.
Yes.
By the way, it was released for the Game Boy Color.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah.
But originally released... for the TurboGrafx-16.
Yeah, and you know, another thing to note about this game, I don't know if you found out this information, but it's actually a ripoff game.
A ripoff of?
Of the Cotton games. I think on the program before we've played something from Cotton 100%.
Okay.
And it's like a copycat of those games. It's basically, it's a witch on a broomstick shooter, flying shooter.
Right.
And Cotton is basically that too. And so it's kind of a copycat of that.
I will be playing music from Stage 5.
Yeah, I like this track a lot myself, yeah.
So there's another rare instance where we both pick the same track.
Right.
Here you go. Thank you. Stage 5, Magical Chase. That's from the TurboGrafx-16.
Yes.
What a beautiful piece, huh?
Yeah. Oh, it's excellent. Just excellent.
I saw at one point it just inspired you to pump your fist.
Well, yeah, there's a very, you know, it's the pump your fist part of the song, you know?
Right.
Of the song, I just said song.
Of the piece.
Of the piece, yeah. I think this one is easier to describe as a piece, though, too, actually.
Right.
And again, possibly composed by Masaharu Iwata, but I don't know. Just because I think Hitoshi Sakamoto's music is so tight. I would think that this is one of his, yeah.
You know what makes me think that this is a Sakamoto track?
What?
In a lot of the Sakamoto tracks that I picked and that I listened to, I noticed a lot of arpeggios.
Hmm. Okay.
A lot.
Yeah, okay.
And they're here. They're present in this track. Hmm.
Very good track. Very good track. Yeah, that was my top pick from this game. Mm-hmm. Actually. Now we're next up, we're going to hear from Gauntlet 4.
Okay.
Which was called Gauntlet in Japan. It was Gauntlet 4 on the Genesis. And this is, I think, the last game we'll be hearing from where it's either Hitoshi Sakamoto or Masaharu Iwata. And the track we're going to hear from is called Retribution.
Right.
And actually was going to be I was going to play this track on our next free play, because I've been kind of saving this track to play on the free play, but then we ended up doing this focus on Hitoshi Sakamoto, and so we'll just be playing it now. This is just a very good track. I've been wanting to play this on the program for a while. And again, it's music from Gauntlet 4 for the Sega Genesis. Music from Gauntlet 4 for the Sega Genesis. Music composed by Hitoshi Sakamoto and Masaharu Iwata. And this is called Retribution. This is just an excellent track, I think.
Outstanding.
You know, I love this part. This part's my favorite. Listen for the sort of like higher pitched voice that comes in right here. Hear that? Actually, this piece really reminds me of 1970s electronic music.
Right, right. D. Devilish.
Right.
Keeping it on that Sega tip.
Right. So Devilish, the Next Possession is the full title of this game.
The track I picked is one that you had picked as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right. I'm going with Intro.
Right. This is probably my favorite track from this game. This was a port of a Game Gear game, which he also composed the music to. And so it came out on Game Gear first, and then it went to Genesis. And he did work on this game alone.
Okay, here we go. Intro. That is the intro to Devilish.
The Next Possession.
The Next Possession.
Music by our composer focus,
Hitoshi Sakimoto. This was a beautiful piece.
Love this piece. Love it. Just love this piece. Love this part right here. It reminds me of Ryuichi Sakamoto.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, you know, aside from being influenced by Yellow Magic Orchestra,
right,
he also was influenced by Chick Corea. Do you know who that is?
No.
He's in the jazz world, a well-known pianist.
Okay.
And particularly in jazz fusion.
Oh. You know. Are you familiar with Chick Corea's work?
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. It's a great piece. Next up is Super Back to the Future 2 for the Super Famicom. It's a Japanese only release. And, from what I've, you know, been able to gauge, the only good Back to the Future game out there, or at least during the 8-bit and 16-bit era. 'Cause a lot of the Back to the Future games were, I guess, you know, bad.
Right.
Although, you know, I rented, Back to the Future 2 and 3.
And
when I was younger, and my friend and I had actually a lot of fun playing there was these sort of weird little, I don't know if there were these kind of mini games that were in the game, and we had fun playing those actually. But okay. Anyway, Super Back to the Future 2, I've already played my favorite tracks from this game on previous episodes of our podcast.
Okay.
This is what we're going to hear right now is round 6-1. From Super Back to the Future 2 for the Super Famicom, music by Hitoshi Sakamoto. Round 6-1 from Super Back to the Future 2, music by Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Good track.
Yeah. By the way, when I was referring to the mini games in Back to the Future 2 and 3 for Nintendo, there's these sort of these boards where you have to just move around and collect these watches in a certain time period, and that's what I'm referring to if anybody was wondering.
I see. ogre battle. The March of the Black Queen.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing. Also known in Japan as Densetsu no Oga Batoru. Mm. And the track I will be playing for this game, the SNES track, is Old Man's Prayer.
And also, there was two other composers who worked on this, but we do have the track breakdown for it.
Right.
But just for your guys' information, Hayato Matsuo worked on this game as well as Masaharu Iwata. Yeah. But this is a Hitoshi Sakamoto track.
This game also released for the PlayStation and Sega Saturn after that.
After the Super Nintendo. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So here we go with Old Man's Prayer from Ogre Battle. The March of the Black Queen. Old Man's Prayer from the game Ogre Battle, The March of the Black Queen. Love that track.
Yeah.
Again, you got those, the arpeggio. That's, I think, is just one of the, one of Sakamoto's favorite things to use in his music.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right, up next, we're going to hear music from Sword Maniac.
Okay.
For the Super Famicom. Now, this game was released in North America as Excalibur 2097.
Yes.
Or 2097. That's X hyphen K-A-L-I-B-E-R. And however, the North American version had a completely different soundtrack, and it was actually by, I think, an American band called Psychosis, spelled P-Y-S-K-O-S-I-S.
Mm. They were ahead of their time with the misspellings.
Right. Yeah.
It seems nowadays a lot of companies, you're a trendsetter if you misspell your company name.
Right.
Add a Z. Let off hyphens, maybe a couple of parentheses in there.
Right. So if you find the North American version of this game, the soundtrack will be completely different than the Japanese version. Japanese version was called Sword Maniac. And also Hayato Matsuo did work on this game as well. Mm-hmm. But here's a track by Hitoshi Sakamoto. It's called Paradox.
Thank you.
This is music from Sword Maniac. And, of course, music composed by Hitoshi Sakamoto. This is called Paradox.
Interesting track.
Yeah, very it's so interesting. It has this almost like Disneyland electrical parade sound in the beginning.
Oh,
and then it becomes this kind of heavier track, you know? Yeah, I mean, this track is very interesting. And it's sure. Near the end of this piece, there's a reprise to that intro part, you know,
yeah.
It, while the heavy parts are playing, you know. Okay, so next up, we're going to hear from Maldorian, and you didn't get a chance to hear this soundtrack, so I'm just going to, I'll just be going again and playing. Basically, we're alternating through the tracks, I mean, through the games that are chronologically, we're just alternating, you know,
yeah.
Playing tracks. But Maldorian, the full title is Maldorian Hikari Toyami no Kyudai, and that translates to Maldorian Sisters of Light and Darkness.
Okay.
Translates. And this is a Game Gear Japan only release. And music by Hitoshi Sakamoto, our composer focus. This is called Field. That was music from Maldorian.
Okay.
For the Game Gear, released only in Japan. And that was called Field.
Field. Very nice.
Next up, we're going to hear from Tactics Ogre. Let Us Cling Together. And this is a Super Famicom game, but it was released in North America for the PlayStation. But as far as the Super Famicom goes, it wasn't released on the Super Nintendo. Masaharu Iwata also was a composer on this game, but the Hitoshi Sakamoto track we're going to be hearing is called Theme of the Black Knights from Tactics Ogre. Let Us Cling Together. Theme of the Black Knights from Tactics Ogre, music by Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's a particular part of this track that I really like, where it's almost kind of hard to grasp the melody, but it's there and it's really cool. This part right here. I mean, it's not that it's hard to grasp, it's just that it's almost like there's like two different pieces happening at the same time, almost at a certain part, or like there's it's one piece and then it transitions into a different kind of piece in an interesting way there, you know. I guess I really like that transition there. It's just an interesting transition. It's basically what I'm saying.
Kind of pendulant? Oh no, pedantic. Yeah, pedantic in a way.
No, not really pedantic. More macustelic.
Macustelic?
You don't know that word?
I don't know that word.
Better look it up. I'm not saying you'll find anything, but
but I better look it up.
But you better look it up.
Treasure Hunter G.
Treasure Hunter G.
For the Super Famicom.
Treasure Hunter G is basically this game is where I really started to pay attention to Hitoshi Sakamoto, because I had seen his name pop up on various soundtracks, and I would start thinking to myself, this guy's really good. And then when I heard his tracks that he did for Treasure Hunter G, I just thought, this guy is becoming one of my favorite composers, you know?
There's a number of other composers on that
soundtrack,
and I ended up enjoying the entire soundtrack from all the composers.
Right.
The track I picked for this game, for this particular game, is a former Kagunari.
Right. And let me just, I'll list those other composers for reference. John P., which is an alias for Mitsuhito Tanaka, who was actually the primary composer on this game. And then, of course, Masaharu Iwata, and Hitoshi Sakamoto. Those three are they're the main composers. The other composers that worked on them didn't contribute as much. Are Toshiaki Sakoda, Yoko Takada, Tomoko Matsui, and Akiko Goto. I have to say that the Hitoshi Sakamoto pieces in this game are just really just so great. I mean, we've already heard from those tracks on earlier episodes, but I particularly really love Emperor of Balladry. That's just such a great track. You can hear that on the Square Squared episode.
Look it up, legacymusichour.com. Download it on iTunes. Mm-hmm. So here we go with a former Kagunari. Former Kagunari. Brent, I'm exhausted.
How come?
That I was doing my magic moves to that song. My wizard moves.
I didn't know that because I was hypnotized the whole time.
We might have to post that on the Facebook.
I don't know.
Well, for those of you that don't know, we sometimes groove to the music.
Yeah.
And for this particular track, this piece, I was just so moved. I became almost like a wizard, and I put Brent in a trance.
Put a spell on me.
Yes.
This is music from Treasure Hunter G. Music by our composer focus, Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Yes.
All right, we have one last game here for the breath section of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, we're actually, I didn't really mention this, but we're sort of sampling one track from his games during this era, basically.
Yes.
Or these console games.
It's the sampler platter.
The sampler platter, yeah. This next game is called Horai Gakuen no Buken, The Adventures of Horai High School. And this came out for the Super Famicom, Japan-only release. This is my best new soundtrack discovery.
Okay.
I really just liked a lot of the tracks in this soundtrack, in this game. And one thing that's interesting, there's this a particular track, the airplane track in this game, is actually, he reuses his own music from Super Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
Stage 3-1 from Super Back to the Future 2. He basically kind of revamps it and uses it in this game also. And this game has nothing to do with Back to the Future. So that's interesting. The track we're going to hear is called School 2. And I just, like I said, this is just, this pound for pound, this game just had really good music all the way through. And it's music by Hitoshi Sakamoto, School 2 from Horai Gakuen no Buken, The Adventures of Horai High School for the Super Famicom. From Horai Gakuen no Buken, School 2.
This first part is totally Beauty and the Beast, the Gaston song.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Huh.
Sounds like it anyway.
All right. I really like that beginning part a lot.
Oh, I love it.
I also like this third part too, coming up right here. It's kind of disco-y sounding part. So good. It's so good right here. I really like the chord changes here. This part's my favorite right here, the beginning part though. It's so good, so good. And then it kind of goes into this funky section for the middle section.
A little reggae style.
Yeah, it's a kind of a reggae keyboard situation. It's a good track. But there's so many good tracks on this game. What we're going to do now is, now that you guys have heard sort of a breadth of his work, we're going to go into, Rob and I are going to kind of like our regular episodes, have a little bit of a free play within the Hitoshi Sakamoto, what do you call it? Hitoshi Sakamoto Arena or,
the world
within the world of something like that. We were just going to now that you've heard a sample, we'll just kind of play a few tracks each of our choice.
Right.
Yeah.
I am going to return to Veritex.
Yeah.
Because I think it was a very good soundtrack. And I would very much like to play another track.
Okay.
You know, one thing about Hitoshi Sakamoto, there's a good quote that I thought was very appropriate, especially for our podcast, that he made in an interview. His quote is, "I still believe the sound can dominate the impression of the game, which was my reason to start this profession."
Uh-huh.
And that was from a Phil Larson interview.
Okay.
In 2006.
All right.
But we were talking about just how music is just so influential in the actual game.
Totally.
And I really like that quote. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy researching a lot of his stuff.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it makes me want to play a lot of these games.
Totally, yeah.
If anyone out there would care to donate to the cause, please do. But that said, I'm going back to Veritex.
He does seem to, there's a cinematic quality to his music, I feel like. You know, it's very strong. It has a very strong presence, the music.
Sure, sure.
And a very strong mood. It can carry a lot of strong, the moods that are conveyed in these pieces are very, you could really hear,
totally
feel the mood, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Act 3 from the game Veritex is what I would like to share with everybody. From composer Hitoshi Sakamoto. Veritex Act 3. Wow.
Ruined Area is the name of the level.
Crap.
Act 3.
Oh, that's a jam right there. I mean, I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm pumped. We have a video. I was punching the camera.
Yeah.
Might put that up on the Facebook.
We'll wait till you see the footage.
This is my favorite part right here. Oh. Do it quickly.
And again, this is music by Hitoshi Sakamoto, Masaharu Iwata, and JKL Furukawa. I'm going to play something from Treasure Hunter G.
Okay.
And this track, this is a really cool track. It's called Gemini Wing. And... I think it might be like the intro to the game or something like that. Music by Hitoshi Sakamoto. We'll be right back. That was music from Treasure Hunter G, Gemini Wing, music by composer Hitoshi Sakamoto.
Cymbals. Nice cymbals.
That's just a full-on orchestral thing with a touch of electronic sound, too. You know, I feel like these sort of arpeggios here, the electronic, but then you've got the orchestral sound. No, there's just a lot in this piece. You hear the bells, the full orchestra sound. It's good, very good.
I am going to return to Horai Gakuen Nobuken.
The Adventures of Horai High School.
Adventures of Jorge High School, yeah.
I said that because you're introducing a track from it, that's why.
Oh, I see what you're doing. That's nice. But I didn't
actually say that. I said Jorge.
I know.
Jorai. I meant Jorai.
But it's so funny that when you first said that before the podcast started, I thought it was really funny. It sounded like Jorge High School.
That'd be
a great name for high school.
Right. Jorge High School.
Jorge J. Memorial High School. Mm-hmm. There are so many good tracks,
yeah,
from this game. I'm going to go with Ruin in the Jungle.
Okay. What else did you have? What else did you have picked?
I had Dungeon.
I love Dungeon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You want to hear Dungeon?
Well, you know what? Okay, sure. I was thinking that we would do an episode of funky music,
okay,
and saving that for the funky episode.
I had
Dungeon's very, very good.
Cosin Nostra as well.
I don't know that one.
Cosin Nostra.
I don't know that one.
Okay, you know what? We'll save Dungeon.
Yeah, I'm going to use Dungeon for a funky, like if we do a funky episode, like funk episode.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, funky bass lines and stuff.
Okay, we'll save that one. But I'll go with Ruin in the Jungle.
Yeah, okay.
Ruin in the Jungle from the game Horai Gakuen no Bouken, a.k.a. Jorge High School. Maybe we should have used that one for the Valentine's episode.
Right. That's cool.
I mean, that is a hot track. I was doing some moves for you. You saw that.
Yeah, I just stole them from you.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay with Adventures of Jorge High School. Jorai High School.
Okay.
Jorge. I'm going to stay with Adventures of Jorai High School with a track called Shinmachi Day. There's another track, Shinmachi Night.
Okay.
This is the daytime track. Shinmachi, music by Hitoshi Sakamoto. Yeah. From The Adventures of Horai High School, Horai Gakuen no Boken. And this is music, of course, by Hitoshi Sakamoto, Shinmachi Day. I just love this track. It's so good. I love in the beginning how there's this the sort of arpeggiating, sort of cascading, this cascading happening in the, yeah, in the background. It's very kind of subtle, but I love that synthy sounding bass, you know?
Right.
And I really love this part coming up right here. This part right here. I think that part's really cool right there too. And then here you'll be able to hear the that sort of cascading happening in the background. It sort of sounds like a sort of synthesized flute or something like that.
Right.
Right here. Sounds really cool, you know? I mean, you know what's cool about this is it's just really cool. It's pretty much just cool.
It's pretty much tight.
Well, here's the thing. First of all, let me just say this too. It's music like this and music from Treasure Hunter G that makes me think that Super Nintendo has the best music.
You know what
I mean? You know what I'm
so
saying?
So when you're listening to this, you're saying Super Nintendo, that's it.
Well, it just makes me think Super Nintendo has some really great music because the quality sounds really great too. Here's the real thing is that with Genesis though, it's a different sound, you know what I mean? I do think Genesis music sounds more video gamey, but then again, you hear this thing, this sounds pretty synthy itself, you know?
It sounds fantastic.
But what it really all comes down to is that Hitoshi Sakamoto is just very dope.
Oh, okay. There's a new adjective being used in the Legacy Music Hour. Yeah.
No, I mean, the guy is just... I mean, seriously, he's really become one of my favorite composers. Over the last, you know, 6 months, I'm just... Hitoshi Sakamoto is seriously one of my favorite video game composers.
Well, that's very good to hear.
What's next?
Tactics Ogre.
Okay.
Let us cling together. And I'm not just quoting the title.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Man, this is actually a few tracks I'd like to play from this one, but okay, I'm just gonna go with Avila Henya.
What were the other ones you liked?
Oh, I really liked a Cygnet.
Uh-huh. What else do you like?
A Fortune Teller 2.
I had that. That was my second choice. My second choice.
But Avila Henya, I mean, it really just stood out to me.
Hit that.
All right. That's what I'm going to go with. Wait, no, maybe I should go with Fortune Teller 2.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Because, you know, it's so rare that you and I have...
I don't think it's that rare, to be honest.
Sure. Mm, yeah. I think in almost 70 episodes, it's happened a handful of times.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, all right, Fortune Teller 2, let's do it.
No.
Did you hear Reminiscence? That's a very good one.
I think I did. You know what, let's do it. Let's do Fortune Teller 2. I'm going to save that one for free play. Fortune Teller 2 from the game Tactics Ogre. Let us cling together for the Super Famicom. fortune teller too. From the game Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together. Super Famicom.
This is kind of on that new age tip.
New age, yeah. All
right. I'm not 100% sure, but nah, never mind, actually. All right, well, I'm a little torn for this last track. I mean, I could play something again from Adventures of Jorge.
Adventures of Jorge, yes.
But no, nah, we've heard enough of that already. I mean, you'll definitely be hearing in the future from it. But
okay.
For this episode, we've heard enough from that. I could play something from Ogre Battle, I could play a track from Devilish, which maybe I'll just... those are some good tracks there, but I kind of feel like Bubble Ghost wasn't really fairly represented, for being kind of an important soundtrack in, I think, his career.
Right.
The ending track that we heard, it's a bit short, and I think there's more to the soundtrack to that game. I mean, the soundtrack to the game is, there's only three tracks, but the stage music in the game is sort of that's the majority of the music in the game.
Right.
And I kind of feel like that would do better justice in kind of showing what Bubble Ghost is all about. So I kind of want to play that for that sake, even though, I mean, I'd be much more, I mean, as far as music goes, I mean, Ogre Battle, maybe I'll play Thunder, or Devilish, or maybe I play Air Passage,
Okay.
But what do you think? Bubble Ghost?
Do it.
Just for the... I'm doing it for Hitoshi.
For the Sakamoto.
Yeah. I'm doing it to fairly represent Bubble Ghost,
Very good.
So this is stage music from Bubble Ghost for the Game Boy. Music by our composer focus, Hitoshi Sakamoto. Music from Bubble Ghost for the Game Boy, music by Hitoshi Sakamoto. Nice. And I think that more represents what this game soundtrack is all about,
There weren't that many tracks to pick.
There's three, but this is like the, the most sort of fully formed track. I don't know if that makes sense, actually. All right, so that brings us to the end, just about the end of the program.
Yes.
Like I said, Hitoshi Sakamoto also arranged and programmed tons and tons of soundtracks. He did, just to name some of them, he did Midnight Resistance and Two Crude Dudes, and he did just all kinds of stuff. I mean, Alien vs. Predator for the Game Boy, and... he did a Guri Suzuki's F1 Super Driving for the Game Boy.
Okay.
And he did King Salmon, Super Hockey 94. Just a really long list of games that he programmed and arranged.
Right.
And I'll talk more about that in just a bit. If you want, for the full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com, and you can contact us at legacymusichour@gmail.com. You can also
give us a call. Send us a text, 281-SONIC-91. We're on Google+. We're on Facebook. And we have a YouTube channel. So we're putting up videos and we're updating content regularly. So check us out. And, of course, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah. And give us good reviews if you, I mean, I guess, you know, if you want.
Right? Yeah, I mean.
If you want.
Yeah. If you want.
Next week's topic is going to be, do you know what we're doing now? What are we doing next week?
Wasn't it
Fighting Games?
Fighting Games 2.
Fighting Games 2?
Fighting Games 2.
Okay, Fighting Games 2. Right? Is that it going to be it?
Yes.
All right, Fighting Games 2. And, oh boy, that's going to be a tough one, I think. Because, as you recalled from the first one, no, we had some good tracks from the first one, but
right.
It was, at the same time, there's a lot of fighting games with some pretty bad music, you know?
Right.
But I'll dig deep, try to find some good stuff here.
Okay.
Okay, and then... what else? Anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay, so the track we're going to close with is a track he did not compose, but he did arrange, and the composer is actually Hayato Matsuo, and it's Master of Monsters, which is an excellent soundtrack all the way through, and it really seems as though Hitoshi Sakamoto's really had a lot to do with the overall sound of it and the mood of it. Even though it was composed by somebody else, the way his arrangement and his programming of the music for this really it really creates an atmosphere, and it's in the quality of the arrangement, you know. So even though he didn't compose it, he really did have a lot to do with the way that this soundtrack sounds, and I thought that'd be an appropriate way to close the show with something that he didn't compose but had a lot to do with otherwise. The track we're going to hear is called Black Dignity, and it's the title screen music from Master of Monsters for the Sega Genesis, music by Hayato Matsuo, arranger Hitoshi Sakamoto. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I am Rob F. Switch, signing off.
The name of the program is the Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.